Welcome to Spectre in the Fog, a homebrew Call of Cthulhu Chaosium game. Last time, our investigators were attacked by a group of Dwellite assassins looking to take them out, once and for all. Luckily, the three men at Jed's Yard were victorious, to a degree. Cicero, on the other hand, wasn't so lucky, falling from a first floor window while trying to save Jane from a monstrous abomination. Let's rejoin the story now, as our group seek medical aid at Oakfield Hospital. And we will jump straight into the action. It's been about 10 minutes since the assassins attacked Marcus, Wilfred and Cresta at the yard. Off of Surrey Street. Since then, Wilfred has blown the police whistle, called the attention of local officers in the area, and a doctor has been procured and is currently on site tending to Marcus's wounds and making sure that the young lady is well looked after. She's very. I don't. The only word I can think of at the moment is startled. But I mean, she's in a really bad way. She's clearly been kept in that box for at least a couple of days with no food or water. She's not in good shape at all.
Would she have been inside a box inside the warehouse when we were there earlier?
Yes.
Oh man, that's rough.
The doctor manages to patch you up, Marcus, stop the bleeding in your arm, but you're going to have to go to the hospital for stitches. And the young lady is also going to have to go to the hospital as well because she's in such a bad way. You know, they need to get her under observation, need to get some food and water into her before she's even going to be able to talk about what's happened. As a carriage is procured for the two of you, Wilfred, you remember that you have that note in your pocket that you took off of one of the assassins, one of the unconscious assassins. Mm-hmm. And you remember there being some imprints on the bottom of the page as well, ready for you to try your tried and tested scrubbing over with a piece of graphite to see if you can see what text is written there.
Yes.
As Marcus is going to go to the hospital anyway, Crass is going to have to go there as well to get his wound stitched up. It's nowhere near as bad as the injuries that Marcus sustained. You think at the hospital, while you're waiting for them to be seen to, that would be an excellent time to try this. You'd also have a much better lighting as well to see what's written on this page. And with that, the three of you and the young girl, along with the doctor and the policeman, bundle into a couple of carriages, which whisk you off down to West Croydon, back towards Oakfield Hospital, where Cicero is. Upon arriving at the hospital, however, and Wilfred stepping out of the carriage in the rain, you are greeted with a horrific sight. There are nurses and doctors running around in the courtyard. There's a smashed window on what appears to be a person laying on the floor by the building, and a doctor in a white lab coat leaning over him.
Just so, is Marcus there, or is he like being kept behind the other doctors?
Marcus, you're sort of like on a stretcher. You've lost enough blood for you to not be steady on your feet at the moment, and the doctor doesn't really want to.
He's not going to notice in that case. He'll be like,
yeah, Cresta, you are in the same carriage that Wilfred's in, and Wilfred seems a bit dumbstruck by what he's seen. So you haven't even managed to get out of the carriage yet. Are you just going to push past him, or are you going to nudge him? What would you like to do?
Yeah, if I can't see what's going on, but I can tell he's like horrified by something.
I'm freaking out.
Yeah, Crass is definitely going to like step up to try and see what's going on.
Okay, Crass, you sort of push past Wilfred a little bit, and you're standing on the steps, so you've got a bit more height on Wilfred. Can you roll a spot hidden for me?
No, obviously I cannot spot anything hidden.
71 to 25. Ooh. The rain isn't coming down hard, but it is creating a bit of a mist. So it's a bit difficult for you to see. You can also see a lot of doctors and nurses in the front courtyard. You also see the man on the floor over towards the building and a smashed window on the first floor. As you are all getting out of the carriages, and as Marcus, you're being taken out on a stretcher, some doctors and nurses run up to the policeman that's there, and they begin to have a frantic conversation. You can't really hear what they're talking about. They're in hushed tones, but the policeman looks really shocked as well. And you, as you look around, the scene seems to be a bit like a, if you were to imagine it now, like a local disaster. Like there's lots of different, like you have some more policemen coming down from sort of like the Thornton Heath area. They seem to be literally running down the road towards the hospital. You've got coppers coming up from the center of town. There appears to be another couple of ambulance carriages pulling up at the front of the hospital as well, out on the street. Something serious seems to have gone down here. And as all this is happening, Marcus, you begin to come to and you look upon this site. You can sort of see all this action going on around you as the rain is sort of like hitting you in the face, and you sort of lift yourself up a little bit.
Yeah, I think Mark's gonna, you know, he's gonna lean up, seeing coppers around everywhere, and understands that justice has to be done. So he's gonna shake the arm of whoever's carrying him and ask for some crutches or whatever, so we can go and have a nosy. At least, I mean, like he knows that this is where we left Cicero, so he's like, you know. Actually, wait, are the others with me, though?
Yeah, everyone's there. Everyone just seems to be completely dumbstruck. I mean, you none of you have ever experienced anything like this before. You've never seen this amount of disaster. I mean, maybe Marcus has from his very early years in the military, from being on a battlefield or something, but never in a civilian scenario.
Yeah, he's gonna grab out for I guess Craster. You can say, what's happening? What's going on?
I don't know. There's so many police. I've never seen anything like it.
Right, help me up. Somebody get me a crutch.
Crass will let you lean on him because, well, you're probably leaning on each other at this point. But
yeah, true. Actually, Wolf is fine, right?
Yeah, I should probably come over and help you guys move around. I mean, I'm just sort of still dumbstruck by everything that's happening.
We're just watching the two beat up dudes like leaning on each other.
Wilfred's just standing there like jingle jangling the change in his pockets, just whistling away to himself.
Wilfred, get over here, man. Help us.
Yeah, I will come over and help.
So I'm going to try and like angle the three of us walking like three drunks, apparently, towards some of the coppers. Sergeant Queenston, Croydon Specials. What's going on here, officer? Actually, these will be my boys, right? They're going to be Croydon.
Yeah, yeah. These are going to be your guys. They're going to.
All right. So yeah, don't know who I am. First plate. first things first. Who's got a cigarette?
The local officer looks at you. He's a young lad. He looks like he's new to the police force. His uniform doesn't really fit him properly. And he's like, oh, Marcus, what? What's happened to you? Oh, you better have a cigarette, mate. And he pulls out like a very soggy pack of cigarettes and hands them to you.
Right, that's good enough. Yeah, he lights it up like shakily and goes, what is... Oh, bloody hell. Looks like half the force is down here. Those are the Thornton Heath boys. What's happened?
Well, sounds like a madman's been running around in a hospital killing people in the wards. And then there's an old gent over there by the window. Oh dear, it looks like he jumped.
Madman, he come by the...
An old gent jumped off something.
It suddenly dawns on him. Madman, old gent. Which way? Show us.
And with that, the young copper says, oh, come with me. And he sort of like leads you guys over. And as you head towards the main door of the hospital, you see this rather muscular doctor in his 40s kneeling over the body of an elderly man laying on the floor. Ben, what is Dr. Odd doing to Cicero?
Dr. Odd.
Doc Odd. I would think, I mean, he's obviously got a lot going on tonight.
Describe what's going on.
Well, he's been on the wards today. It's obviously a big hospital. He was on a different ward while all this was happening, and he was the one that was called out to have a look at the gentleman on the floor. So yeah, he's just currently looking and kind of assessing what's happened, seeing if there's a way that he can kind of stop at least some of the bleeding, because obviously it's a bit of a mess.
Are we talking like sexy Doctor Man?
Yeah, what does Dr. Odd actually look like then? Christ.
Is he wearing a shirt under the lab coat?
He's
got a very, very small, tight shirt over his over his muscles. Yeah. He's got you know, those sort of like round spectacles that people would have during the time. You know,
if this wasn't a disaster, would I be drawing him right now?
You probably would. You know, he's just got that kind of like aura about him that makes people who have just seen horrific things want to draw him.
Marcus slaps the notepad out of your hand and goes, "Pay attention."
No, I'm not going to
focus.
So yeah, he's you know, he's an average sized chap, but he's quite well built, considering he's a doctor. Not by any means like massively well built, but you know, pretty decent. He's just kind of leaning over and trying to stop the bleeding as best he can, and not really taking much attention for the people that are behind him. He's just kind of like focused on his patient, so to speak.
Okay. Marcus, Cresta, and Wilfred, as you stop by the door and you glance down, you see that the elderly man laying on the floor is Cicero. What are you going to do?
I'm going to try and sprint over as quick as I can.
Cresta's staggering over, but he's not going to try and sprint or anything energetic at this point.
So I'll make sure these two are kind of standing and that me running off isn't going to make them fall over.
Yeah, somebody can give us crutches, right? We've got some crutches we can get. We don't have to lean on Wilfred the entire time. He's going to carry us.
Just grab one of the policemen and, you know.
As usual, Mark, right. Any younger policeman, he's like, over here, quickly.
Get that really young one with his uniform.
I have a job for you, son.
Give us a hand and a cigarette. Come on, man. And he actually might lean him over and goes, shit. Wait, is this shit in the 1800s?
Bugger,
it's Cicero. Is he... Doc, is he alive?
Barely, I think, at this point. Yeah, he's got a nasty wound. He's jumped out the window for some reason. Although I don't think I've seen the mess upstairs. I've heard some nasty things.
Nasty things like what, Doc?
Well, it's like there's something someone's got into the wards and almost crushed loads of people. And then left without anyone seeing him.
One man has done this.
Well, that's the quest. That's what this fine sergeant needs to find out.
Do you have any witnesses? Anybody who might be able to finger this pub? Finger this offender?
None that are alive. Except for potentially this gentleman.
What about the young lady, the young nurse, Miss Jane?
Well, you can head up to the wards and you can see for yourself. And then see if you can find
sort of
out.
I'm going to pat him on the back and say, you keep him alive, Doc. And I'm going to run up to the ward to try and find Jane.
Yeah, you can do the running. I'll stay here.
Yeah, I'll try and get my way. Is it like all cordoned off by police or can I get in?
You can push your way.
Yeah, if he runs, I'll call to say that he's okay to go on up.
Cool. Yeah, I'll try and get into the hospital proper.
Okay, you push your way in through the door and you sprint up the stairs that are directly in front of you. Make a left and head down the corridor. As you run, though, Wilfred, you begin to slip and slide on a slick floor. There is blood everywhere.
Okay, I'm going to slow down.
He just slides all the way down the hallway.
Casually, just wee!
There are bits of viscera and just body parts you can't even recognize strewn all over the place. The light is dim in the corridor. Can you do a sanity roll for me?
Yeah, I thought that was coming somehow. Sanity fail.
I want you to take 1 point of sanity damage.
That's fine.
And As you do, you just slow your legs just give way beneath you, and you drop to your knees. And you can see where you need to go. You can see the ward, but your body just won't move, and you're just stuck in the corridor, in the bloody corridor, with nowhere to go really. We're gonna cut back outside. Doc Odd, you've managed to bandage Cicero's head as best you can. A couple of porters have come along with a stretcher, and Cicero's been picked up and placed on the stretcher. And you are directing them to take him back in inside to the hospital. You need to get him inside. He can't be outside. If he's going to survive, he needs to be in dry clothes, and he needs his wound properly seen to. You can see that Marcus is pretty injured, and that Krastrolsen is seeing to as well. What are you going to do?
Once I know that Cicero's all right, then I'll run out or walk over to them. Now let's have a look, see what you've gotten, what mess you've gotten yourself into. And
does Marcus still have a knife in him?
He's still got a
does
knife.
Does he still have the knife in him?
I think he does.
I don't think I've taken it out, actually. That's a good point.
I think maybe the doctor, when he's come to see you, would have removed the knife because he knows what he's doing. So you're no longer a knife in your shoulder, but you've got a relatively nasty wound that's just padded with...
Yeah, I've got my arm in a sling.
Cheap bandages. It's not...
Yeah. I got stabbed in the chest, or I got sliced in the chest as well, so I guess I've got, like, some wrapping on me or something.
Yeah.
Well, in that case, then, I'll go see Marcus first before he passes out from blood loss, by the sounds of it.
Yeah. he's currently too angry to realise that he's passing out.
Yeah. I feel like he's just going to collapse at a random point.
Awake. Justice.
Yeah, as you're coming over, he's like yelling at you, just telling him what to do. And then just as you come over, he falls forward and just
falls over. Yeah. I'll see if I can try and patch that up first. And then I go over to Cresta.
Okay. Are you going to seat them outside in the rain, or are you going to take them inside?
Well, yeah, if he's able to kind of like limp inside, then, you know, we'll like, come on, gentlemen, let's have a look inside. If it's chucking it down with rain, you wouldn't, you know, look it in out there. So, yeah, we'll go inside.
As Crest is limping inside, he's going to keep his hand in his pocket because he's going to have his revolver ready, because if there's something nasty gone on in there, he's a little bit on edge.
Which pocket have you got your revolver in, Crest?
I'm going to say the arm I wasn't stabbed in.
So you've got your hand in your left pocket?
Yeah, probably.
Okay, cool. You three make your way in, and a chair's pulled up for Marcus, and you're sat down, and there's a stool for Cressa to sit on. None of you can hear anything from upstairs, which is a little bit worrying. And would... Marcus, would you like to send anyone upstairs to go see if Wilfred's okay? Or are you happy that he's probably going to be all right and just exploring?
Yeah, I mean, look, if I've been patched up enough to, like, you know, be mostly conscious as long as I'm not, like, stressing out, I'll go and check up on him. I mean, like, Wilfred went upstairs earlier, and we haven't seen him yet.
Okay. Well,
I'll be honest.
I feel like I would be...
Yeah, go on.
I would be telling you no... You sit down, and I'll look upstairs when we've seen to the other two.
Okay.
At least, I don't know how badly Cresta's wounded.
Cresta has a stab wound in his right arm. It is going to require stitches. Can you just do me a first aid roll?
Yeah.
And we'll count that single roll for both of them.
Hey.
Hard success.
It
there.
Works.
Hey, all right.
For 50.
Wow.
You make very quick work of patching up Marcus. Like your skill with a needle and thread is equal to that of a seamstress if what they were doing was stitching two bits of flesh back together again. And equally you pretty much sort out Craster just like that. You're both still a little bit sore, but you're feeling a little bit easier on your feet. Marcus, you're not bleeding anymore, and you give Marcus some opiates to deal with the pain. Are you just gonna leave them sitting there? Are you gonna call over a nurse or an officer just to keep them company?
I guess I'll stay in bed.
You guys haven't even made it to a bed. You're literally just sitting in the foyer.
Yeah, I feel like I would be gesturing a nurse to take at least Marcus to a bed. And then Krasta can, if he wants, can come with, and we can find his friend. Because I, you know, once those two are sorted, I'd probably be going upstairs to see if there's anything needed upstairs. feel like Dr. Odd is the type of person that would be helping whoever he could. So, you know, if there's if he's needed upstairs, he'd go for that.
Okay. Crashster, are you going to go with Dr. Odd once a couple of nurses come over to see to Marcus?
Yeah. Yeah, Crashster's going to take a wander upstairs.
Okay. As I say, a couple of nurses come over, one of them with a wheelchair, and Marcus, they ease you into the chair as you're still, though you're not bleeding, you're still a little bit uneasy, and they roll you down the corridor on the ground floor to a little private room. It's one of the actually one of the doctor's rooms that has a bed in it, and they can place you in it and just keep you under observation for a little bit.
Yeah, can I smoke in there?
And the nurse looks at you and goes, "Of course," because as we all know, you know, people could smoke in hospitals up until like, you know.
He lights up and goes, "Oh, I love the 1800s."
Of course, so in fact, we recommend it.
Yeah.
If you're not having your 7 cigarettes a day, then, you know, you're not going to get any better.
Yeah. Marcus, you're set up in a nice room with a couple of lovely nurses, and you got your cigarettes, and you seem pretty happy.
He's still upset about Cicero, but I think the opiates are keeping that at bay for now.
Yeah, yeah. You're starting to see, you know, colours and shit.
Yeah.
You're enjoying yourself. Crashster and Doc, you make your way up the stairs and you turn left. And as you begin to go down the corridor, you see the shape of a man just crumpled to his knees in the middle of the corridor and blood and viscera everywhere. Doc, you are unaffected by this. I mean, you're a doctor. You've seen horrific things. Crashster, this is a little bit unusual. Can you do a sanity roll for me, please?
There we go. Ooh.
Oh dear. Yeah, Crashster, can you take 1 point of sanity damage, and you're also going to become uneasy on your feet, and as you start to go, Doc, you notice and grab him. What are you going to do? You're at the moment got like a slightly nauseous man in your arms.
Well, considering he's just had a stab wound and he's now completely like uneasy, I'm going to tell him to go downstairs, I think. Go join his friend.
Go on, fuck off.
Yeah, get out of here. Can't handle it.
Are you going to take the doctor's advice and try and make your way downstairs, or are you gonna steady yourself by taking a swig from your trusty canteen?
Right, I'm gonna fall back like I've taken the doctor's advice after taking a swig from my canteen, and then the minute I'm out of his eye shot, I'm gonna try and take the long way around to see if I can work out or see what's going on.
Oh, okay.
Hopefully find Wilfred.
Okay, cool. So, yep, you take a swig and you step back. And, Doc, you proceed down the corridor towards the person-shaped object that's about, I don't know, 10, 15 yards down. Mm-hmm. And as you get closer, you notice it's Wilfred. What are you two going to do?
Well, I will not run because the floor's covered in blood, isn't it? I will potter over to him. Yeah. No, not dawdle, but not run. No. Try and get him up. See what's wrong, and maybe probably try and take him back downstairs, because obviously these guys are not doing too well at the moment. They're not having a good night. So yeah, I'll probably try and take him away from the horror movie.
Okay. Wilfred, what are you going to do, or what do you want to do?
No.
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 This needs to be seen. This needs to be documented.
Is this just for your girlfriend?
No, this is sort of like, he's kind of gone into his shell a little bit. So he's kind of like sort of zoning out and has become a bit cold and is literally just viewing this as story. Write it. He's not quite going to sit in the corner and draw pictures of everything just yet, but he is sort of thinking in his head, like, this needs to be documented. Like, the country needs to know about this. So he's sort of thinking, like, what's my comfort for getting this all fully documented to try and figure out what happened? So he will stay up here and go around and try and piece together what's gone on.
Okay. Well, Doc, are you going to help Wilfred to his feet?
Yeah, I'll help him up. Anyway, definitely.
Okay.
Thanks, Doc.
No worries.
As you get to your feet, Wilfred, you feel your strength come back to you, and the two of you then proceed down the corridor towards the ward where Cicero was, where Sister Jane was. As you enter the ward, you see the crushed and mutilated bodies in the beds that line the wall, either side of the wall. You can see the nurse's station in front of you that's covered in blood. There's blood all over the floor. There's blood all over the curtains, especially around the curtain where Cicero's bed was. And you can feel the cold breeze coming in through the open window where Cicero clearly jumped. What would you two like to do?
Is the curtain still pulled around Cicero's sort of area?
It is, yes.
Well, might regret this, but I'm going to pull the curtain back.
Okay, you step over, and as you pull the curtain back, you see a mass on the bed covered in blood, and it looks to be Sister Jane, and you nearly drop to your knees again as you're quite upset by it. As you knock the bed, though, you hear a faint sound come from her. And you can actually see the rise and fall of her chest.
Oh, God.
She still appears to be alive. Shit. What are you going to do, Wilfred?
Doc, I think she's still alive.
I'll be the judge of that.
I'm going to sort of move over and sort of like, not shaking her, but sort of like tap on the shoulders to try and get any kind of response and sort of
just
motion.
She's smashed a bit. She's barely alive. You can't like shake and be like, hey, you're all right.
Let's just.
I'm not a medical man.
Recovers.
I am but a simple journalist. She's breathing in my eyes. She is alive.
God.
She is alive. Still fair game.
Oh, wow.
I'm still in here. Oh, God.
I draw the line in necrophilia.
Well, she's not alive, so it's all right. I mean, she's not dead, so it's all right.
Exactly.
Oh, that is. Problematic.
That is grim. Yeah, Doc, what are you doing?
Well, yeah, I mean, if she's still alive, then obviously run off to see if you can help her.
Okay.
If she's still breathing, you know.
As you run over and take a look at her body, you can see that, I mean, she's not in a good way. She's been hit. She has a slight contusion on her head. Her breathing is labored. And it looks as though her left leg is pretty much been severed below the knee. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to staunch that bleeding very quickly. Can you do first aid roll for me, please?
Okay. Oof. Oh, I like this guy.
This is the guy we've needed.
Extreme success.
Hey, Dr. Odd can't miss.
Don't say that.
You instinctively basically just tear off your belt.
Oh, man.
And strap it around her lower leg, just where it seems as though her left leg isn't completely severed, but it is sort of hanging off. You know there's no way you're going to be able to reattach that. So you literally just clamp your belt around it as tight as possible. Are you going to give any instruction to Wilfred as to aid you, or are you just going to do it all by yourself?
Hold her down. This isn't going to be pretty.
Yep, fine. I will, hands on shoulders, hold her down.
Okay, as Wilfred braces her, you pull that tighter and tighter, and you can hear as she yelps out in pain, you can see that you are closing off the capillaries, and you can kind of see that the blood is starting to lessen. It's not flowing as much as it was before. She's by no means stable. She's going to need to have that looked at and stitched immediately. What are you going to do?
I mean, I can try and stitch it as well. Yes.
I'll give you some options. You can run out of the window and call for help and get some more people up there, or you can literally try and look for stuff that might be on the ward to save her.
Right. Well, I think that probably if I've just. I think the best thing to do would be looking around, see, because I think he'd want to do it immediately if he sees that she's in that state.
Okay. You take a quick look around the ward, but there doesn't appear to be anything that's usable that you can use. There's no blades or gauze, or not, it wouldn't be gauze, but bandages or anything like that. Mm-hmm. You know you're going to have to get her to one of the operating theatres.
Is this bed movable? Like, is it on wheels, or is it just a... standard sort of.
It is on wheels, and you can kick the locks off if you want. So you unlock the wheels, and you and Wilfred can go full ER and run down the corridor with her. do you want?
Yeah, I think that Doc Odd is a man of action. You know, he sees someone in distress. He's going to try and do everything he can to save them, essentially. So, yeah, I think he'd probably try and do that.
Wilfred, are you going to dramatically run down the corridor, pushing the truck?
Absolutely. I'm not quite sure why, but in my head, I'm going.
Cool. You two like burst out through the ward doors, pushing the bed with Sister Jane, barely alive, laying in a pool of blood. Cresta, you look up because you know you've been hanging back, and you just see this like slow-mo of like this big burly doctor with like his trousers slightly falling down a little bit, running down the corridor, pulling this bed along, with sort of Wilfred keeping up as best he can as behind. As you're going, Doc, you thrust your hand into your lab coat pocket and pull out a syringe, which you know is an opiate, a painkiller, and you take it out and you stab it into her leg and you inject her with some of the painkillers and attempt to at least knock her out, because you know you're not going to have enough time to chloroform her to knock her out. You're going to have to do this straight away. And you can see Cresta is still down the bottom of the corridor. Are you going to call out to him, or are you just going to ignore that he's there?
Well, I told him to bugger off, basically. Tell him to go downstairs. Go.
You should probably go and get people to help us.
Or, yeah, I suppose. I said I could shout, yeah, go get help if I see him.
Yeah, you definitely see him. So is that what you're going to shout, go get help?
Yeah, go get help.
We need an adult.
Get help!
Cresta, what's your response?
I'm going to nod and run and look for somebody to help him. Obviously away from that room, because there's clearly no one there, so in another direction.
Okay, you make your way down the stairs and you can see there's actually another doctor and another nurse on the ground floor, just sort of milling around now in the hospital foyer for you to grab their attention. As you do, you wave them over, they run up the stairs. Are you going to follow them?
Yes, I am.
Cool. Now it's turned into like a full, you know, medical drama as you and the doctor and the nurse join Doc Odd and Wilfred running down the corridor towards the first floor operating theatre, which is quite a fair way down.
Okay. I would like to fall back and peel off before they reach the operating theatre.
Okay.
I do not particularly want to go into the operating theatre because I wouldn't be of any use. And two, I still don't actually know what went on there. So
okay.
I've got to go and have a look. I'm probably now going to go and have a look in the room that he chewed me away from.
Okay.
I'm going to regret this eternally, but...
Well, Cresta, as they burst in through the operating theatre room door and you can hear them shouting, Wilfred, have you joined them in the operating theatre as well?
Oh, yeah, I've gone all the way.
You've gone all the way. You're there. Okay, cool.
Sure.
Cresta, you turn around and start to walk back down towards the direction they came from, and you can see that a lot of the rooms are open, and there's even blood down this end of the corridor as well. It seems as though most of the carnage has happened on the first floor. As you make your way down, you glance into some of the rooms and you see what is left of the people that were in the hospital beds and some of the nurses and doctors that were unfortunate to be on that floor at the same time as well.
Okay, take another sip from a hip flask.
Okay. You make your way eventually down to the ward where Cicero was. What would you like to do in there? Was it just a case of you just wanted to see, or is there you actually
look? Yeah, I'm going to look around. Do I notice the broken window?
Yep. You can feel the breeze coming in through the window.
Yeah, I'm going to look out the window and then I'm going to try anything to kind of see if I can see what did this and where it's gone.
Okay, can you do a spot hidden?
Should we just say time and say no, I can't see what did this.
Christ, I love the spot hidden.
We believe in you. Don't believe in you.
We believe in him, it just didn't.
You're not 63 luck, that'll be all right.
Yeah.
I believe there's more luck than I currently have.
Get Dr. Odd to do the roll, apparently he can't miss.
As you look around the room, you can kind of piece together roughly what's happened. You can see that there's a chair on the floor. You can see that the window smashed. The blood on the concrete paving slabs below slowly getting washed away by the rain. And you can kind of see drag marks where maybe something heavy's been pulled along the wooden floor. but there's nothing, there's no direction to where this thing's gone or whatever it was that was there. You know, there's no obvious clues.
Is there any other way out of this room other than through the window?
Nope, only through the door you came in.
I'm going to head back out that door.
Okay. We're going to now jump to the early hours of the following day. Doc Odd, you, with your quick thinking, were able to save Sister Jane. She had to have her left leg amputated below the knee.
Hey, I mean, that's bad, but yeah, she's alive.
But she's alive. Wilfred, you've spent the night just in her room, just watching over her with one of the nurses. As you wake up at a desk in the room, you look down in front of you and you see the piece of paper that you found on those assassins. And you see a pencil on the table as well. What would you like to do?
I think it's time to do the old graphite trick to try and rub through and see what's under there.
Okay. You gently... Actually, let's do a dex roll for this.
Oh, do we have to? See?
So,
right.
Critical failure.
96 for 40. Can I? Yeah, you know what? I feel like I need to push that because it's a critical failure. What's the worst thing that can happen? I snap the pencil.
Stab yourself with the pencil?
No, I feel like that would be a bit harsh.
Well.
This is
me we're talking about.
Yeah, I just got one shot last game, so...
You jumped out of a window. I'm trying to rubber pencil.
I jumped off of a two-story roof. That was a one-story window.
You don't tell me how to live my life.
Yes!
Oh, no.
You try at the beginning of the of where you see the imprint, and the pencil goes in too much and it snaps. So you fiddle around in your pocket and you find another pencil, and this time you go over it a bit lighter. And as you do, some letters begin to appear on the page. And what you see is an address. You okay. can read 32A and then something W Road, Shoreditch, written on the bottom of this page. So whoever was using this notepad before had written this address down, torn it off, and then written down your names on this piece of paper as a hit for these creatures to come after.
We can't make out the name of the road. It's just something that ends in W.
It begins with a W.
Begins with a W.
Okay.
Sure.
Cresta, as Wilfred finishes scribbling on this, you actually step into Sister Jane's room just to check in on Wilfred. What are you two going to do?
Good timing, Cresta. Have you been to spent much time around Shoreditch area?
Briefly. It's not exactly my regular haunt, but...
It appears our friends that attacked us in the night on their notes have an address for somewhere in Shoreditch, but I can't quite get the name of the road. How's Marcus doing?
Smoking up a storm.
Wonderful. And the old man?
They won't even let me in to see him. I think it's bad.
He's a lot of things, but no one deserves to go out like that. Have we figured out what happened here yet?
Something hit a lot of people with something large. It's brutal carnage. I can't tell you beyond that. Can I take a look at the bit of paper?
Absolutely. I'll hand that over.
I can see the W on there.
Yep. Can you do an appraise roll for me, please, Cresta?
Holy. That's quality paper.
Done it.
Three.
You take a look at this paper, and you can see that it is relatively good stationery stock. In fact, you can see a slight watermark on this page, and you remember seeing this once before at the British Museum. You can't quite remember where, but you know you've seen this paper stock back there on one of your visits.
Is going to be very crestfallen and go, this paper, they use this at the British Museum.
Not that fucking place again.
There's a very good chance Monroe's got something to do with this.
As you say that, where you look at the scribble with the where Wilfred's gone over it to try and read it, you can actually make out a couple of letters. It's a W and then something ST. From that, you deduce that the street name is probably West Road. So 32A West Road, Shoreditch.
We need to go and find Marcus.
Okay. Are you, by the way, are you going to share that revelation, Craster, or...
Carefully, I look at it very carefully and go, I think it's West Road. I can see an ST. We should probably have a look, see if we can find a street map to the area. Confirm. I don't know how common West Road is as a name. We should tell Marcus, but I think maybe we should just tell the other officers, because none of us are in any condition to go storming off there right now.
Thinking we just send the bill round to investigate, see what they turn up?
Well, either way, Wilfred, you look across to Jane and she seems to be sleeping. Her head's bandaged, her leg's bandaged. She isn't going anywhere. She can't walk. She's only got one leg now. She's not going to go far.
Oh,
too soon.
So you stand up and the both of you sort of give each other a knowing nod and make your way down to see Marcus. When you enter Marcus's room, you see Doc Odd sitting in the corner. And Marcus, you are just, well, relaxing, really. It's the first time you've ever really just sat around and not done anything for a period of time.
Yeah. I'm actually boring Doc Odd to pieces with just really boring police stories.
Yeah, I just look around and I'm just mouthing the word, save me.
You know, one time, right, we're back in the war. And one of my lads, he went down, and I said, I'm not having that. And, oh, are you all right, lads?
Oh, it's actually during the war stories. hey, Doc, Jane looked like she kind of moved a little bit. Maybe she needs someone to look at her.
Okay, yeah, I can, I'll wander up there then if you want.
Wait, Jane, that's the young nurse, right? The one that you were chatting to?
Mm-hmm. That's her. She somehow survived.
That's fantastic. You got a... grab for start. We've got an actual witness. Maybe you can bring her down here. We can ask some questions.
Take a while.
Craster puts his hand. She's in no state for that. Wilfred did uncover this, though, and he's going to hand Marcus the note.
Marcus looks at the note and then crushes it in his hand and goes, Monroe!
Hey, that's expensive paper.
Oh, sorry. I tried to fold it out.
Like brush it out.
Sorry, I just get, you know, that bastard Monroe, I knew it.
Doc, how long before he's able to get out and about?
I mean, he could get out of bed now. I mean, you guys could go off on an adventure if you wanted to.
Mechanically, how much HP did I regain?
Technically, you didn't really have a full night's sleep because you got to the hospital in the early hours in the morning, so you're still on, like, 7 hit points, but, I mean, that's... That should be broader.
Wouldn't it be fair to get like a couple back for the medical treatment received?
I don't think that's how it works.
Is that all?
I think you only get it from a night's rest, and that's it.
Mm.
I mean, to be fair, it was a night's rest in the hospital, so let's say you
full
have
of opiates.
You have gained
one. But you have gained health. -3 for the opiates.
You're a junkie now.
You've gained 1 hit point of health, Marcus.
Oh, it's much 7 then.
I think Brass is going to absolutely stop anyone going anywhere. And just look, there are officers we can send to at least investigate.
The last time we sent officers who didn't know what was going on to deal with that bastard, we ended up with 2 bodies on that. Well, 1 body and 1 bashed up poor bastard.
So maybe we send officers that know what's going on.
Yes, and if we go now, there's a very good chance we'll be the bodies. We need to recover. Even we just send some officers who are at least informed that.
No, I mean our mate.
Dangerous.
The guy who put us up to all this.
The good chow. Oh, we should get him to 10 people, but we need them to understand the man is dangerous and maybe not to engage.
Well, I'd imagine everyone knows who he is and what he's done by now. I'd imagine most police forces in the city have heard of Professor Monroe and will be on the lookout for him.
I don't think so. I think they kept it on the quiet, from what I understand. Like, what do you tell them? Professor Monroe brought a mummy in and beat people up with it?
Well, I think we just sort of let slip that Monroe is indirectly responsible for killing an officer.
We'd have to probably talk to Reed. Reed's in charge of the operation.
I think that's our go-to right now.
Monroe and he has known associates who may well be responsible for the death of some officers. We don't have to get into specifics, simply that he is too dangerous to engage anything less than mob-handed.
That sounds like a plan to me.
But the problem is, what have we got to go on? A bit of paper I reckon we go to Reed and get Reed to supply some officers. Because these guys aren't going to just be like, yeah, sure, we'll go chase down a guy on a piece of crumpled paper.
I mean, on that crumpled paper, it's also our names that we got off of the people that attacked us in a night.
That's the thing, we don't know. Do we know if that actually comes in? We still got the note from before, or at least Marcus does. So he's going to fish around for that and check the handwriting against this new note.
As you do, you see that their handwriting matches Marcus.
Marcus crushes both the papers in his hat. Because I knew it, Monroe! All right, fine, maybe we do go and deal with him, but...
Marcus, as you do that, you feel like a rush of invigorating adrenaline, and you literally feel like you can take on the world. You can feel that justice is within your grasp.
I flex so hard, my cast breaks open.
Yeah, you're
That's not a good thing.
Old anime aura.
No, I thought that's The Rock in what movie is that? Fast and Furious, when he just flexes the cast off himself.
I was going to Tokyo after eating a senzu bean, but you know.
Oh yeah, that too. But the Rock,
yeah, I mean, you're literally there. You're tensing so hard you can hear the bandages ripping that are across your chest. You feel like you can get out of bed. So, what would you like to do?
I want to go and have words with that bastard Monroe. If this is all his doing and poor Cicero's on death's door because of it, then we owe him some payback. But we're going to need help.
I think we're going to need to bring someone in, make sure we don't collapse within 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Don't even know what did this to Cicero. We need to be very, very prepared.
Absolutely.
Can we? So, just out of character, is Jane, like, unconscious? Can we not talk to her at all?
Oh no! Yeah, she's out of it.
High and unconscious at the same time, I think.
Oh, okay. Nah, damn. So we really don't know.
Her leg amputated. I don't think she's in much of a state to be chatty.
Yeah, she's not chatty. That's a good way.
Yeah, that's a fair point. That's a fair point.
So while all that's going on, Doc, you haven't actually left the room, and you're overhearing this. Now you're a man of action, Doc, and.
Yep.
And you're a big burly guy, and you know your medical stuff. What would you suggest?
Well, I would suggest saying something like, well, you guys just came back from Christ knows where yesterday, with stab wounds and slashes and all sorts of things. You seem to know that one of the gentlemen that seemed to be affected. I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't look after you guys properly. So I think you should come and take care of your injuries, at least for a little while.
That would be appreciated. No offense, though, Doc. I mean, you know, as a man of medicine, do you have any fighting abilities if things get a bit of a dust-up? Any martial prowess?
I wouldn't necessarily say martial prowess, but I'm not one to go down easily.
I would just suggest that at that point you just go, oh, well... Kadoosh! And then just
yeah, I was thinking about saying that.
just like all your clothes and your torso just like explode off you. You're like
Dr. Banner style, your clothes.
Yeah, I was thinking about it, but I thought that might be a bit over the top. I could just show them the gun.
Whoa! Wait a minute.
It's just like, no, I'm not martial. I'm not got any martial prowess, but I've got this.
You mean the guns or an actual gun?
Both.
Why do you have a gun?
Flexing with one.
I feel like after last night's debacle, he would be packing.
Does he whip it out in the middle of the?
No, of course he does.
I've got this, waves it
around. I feel like you'd pull it out from your waistband and be all like, what, this?
just throw it about and just like, yeah, everyone, who wants to fight me now, eh?
Everyone ducks.
I thought you were a healing man, Doc.
Well, I'm a healer, but...
Well, I heal people that I injure.
That's not
enough work to do. I make myself the work.
Okay.
How entrepreneurial of you.
With that, we're going to cut to the afternoon, and the four of you have all made your way to back up to Whitechapel, and are currently sitting in Reed's office.
Before we do that, can I just check up on the girl we saved from the crate?
Oh, good point, yeah.
Make sure she's at least all right. I don't expect her to be answering questions, but is she okay? Is there a guard on her door?
Yeah, before you leave
if
the
not,
hospital...
If not, I want one.
Yeah, but before you leave the hospital, there is a police constable at her door, and there's currently a detective in the room with her, along with a doctor and a nurse, and she's currently being interviewed by the local Croydon Constabulary. Once you get to Whitechapel through the grapevine, you learn that this young girl was actually a girl that had gone missing a couple of days before, and was one of the people that that those two workmen were talking to Wilfred about.
Ah, okay.
And the police had gone back, and they checked a couple more of the crates. Unfortunately, they didn't find anybody else, but they are sending more officers from Wapping and some of the other local constabularies down to...
I'm also guessing they didn't find any unconscious dwellites.
No, no bodies. But they are sending...
I don't want to go over where we did die, to be honest. Like, I feel like we're set up.
Well, at the moment, police are mobilising. They would have known that was Jedediah's yard anyway in Surrey Street, so they would have gone there. You've also got a contingent of officers with heavy weapons being sent out to Wapping, where dock and yard with the warehouses are, the ANS Co. Yard. So it does seem as though, you know, the Met is mobilising and is currently... bringing down the blue fury of justice on the criminal underbelly of London at the moment.
I feel let down. Like, I thought Jedediah was like a bro, and he set us up. Marcus needs to really think about this.
Well, you're sitting with Reed, and you've told him what's been going on, and you filled him in on a few bits and pieces, and he also takes a look at the now very crumpled note.
That kind of smooth it out for him.
And is studying it with his magnifying glass. In passing, you mention Jed and how you may have been set up, and he looks up to you, Marcus, and goes, "I'm awfully sorry, Sergeant. Have you not heard?"
Heard what?
Well, some local Croydon constabulary went round to his home. And, well, all they found was the maid.
You mean he got away, eh? Did a runner?
I'm not saying that, Marcus. I'm sorry.
Well, no, hang on. Look, he's a shifty bugger. Right? I was chasing him around for years. He's probably like Scarford, right? He's taken his money, left the maid to answer the questions.
Yes, yeah, that's exactly what's happened, Marcus. I wouldn't worry too much about it. We'll catch up to him eventually. Don't worry.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I've got some questions for him anyway. I'm just gonna have a smoke. Kind of quietly gets up and walks out the hallway.
As soon as he's gone, I'm just going to look at Reed and go, "He's dead, isn't he?"
And Reed just looks up at you from... He's looking down. He just looks up at you from his brow. And just the look in his eyes, you can tell. He's not said anything.
Marvellous.
And he just looks back at the page and goes, "Looks like someone is clearing up after themselves. Well, gentlemen, West Street, Shoreditch. I'm familiar with this road. It's not a pretty area. A bit strange to be seeing anyone associated with Monroe there, but I'm more than happy to send Adams along with you if you'd like to investigate."
I think for this instance, the more the merrier.
In that case, gentlemen, I will join you. And with that, Reed pockets the note, stands up, pulls his bowler hat off of the hat stand, squishes it down onto his head, puts on his thick overcoat, and pulls a revolver from out of his desk and places it.
I'm beginning to feel like everyone has a gun but me.
Yeah, but you've got the chair leg of destiny.
I do have the chair leg of destiny. I sort of look down at it longingly and then just like look at the gun and...
I know what I'd rather have.
I mean, maybe later on you could turn the chair leg into a gun, Wilfred.
Yeah. Like a crossbow or something, maybe.
Hollow out and use it like... blunderbuss.
Well, with that, it appears as though there's a plan of action. Is there anything you four gentlemen would like to do before yourselves, Reed and Adams, make your way to Shoreditch?
I feel like I don't know if Craster used any bullets, but maybe he should go get some bullets back.
They would have been, you would have replenished those from the police armory. That's fine.
Okay.
Police armory, you say?
You're going to try and trade the chair leg for a gun?
Reed, I know you may have noticed I'm sort of going around a little less armed than my compatriots. Obviously, my profession doesn't usually require me to carry anything like a firearm. Given the circumstances of where we're going, do you think I could maybe borrow something?
Reed looks at you and goes, yes, I think we can muster something up. Gentlemen, with me. And as you step outside, Marcus, you're just finishing your cigarette in the corridor and you're a bit sort of taken aback by Reed in his full dress with his coat and his hat on. He's like, Marcus, come and join us. We're heading down to the armory.
Oh, yeah. All right. Stubbed out a cigarette and follows along, a bit shaken. Like, he's not sure. He knows that Jed's dead.
Yeah, but it's still not nice to know that your friend helped you and then was possibly killed.
Exactly. It's his fault because he helped us. It's Mark's fault because he asked you for help.
You four with Reed and Adams make your way down into the basement, and he opens up a door, and it seems to be a storeroom. And in the storeroom is a lockbox attached to the wall. Reed pulls a key out from his pocket, unlocks the lockbox, and inside are firearms, mainly revolvers. Reed pulls a revolver out, a .38 revolver, handed one to Marcus. And as he's gone to look back inside the cupboard, he's ferreting around, and he eventually pulls out a .32 revolver and hands that to you, Wilfred. If you want to add those to your sheets, so Marcus, if you add a .38 revolver, it is a 1d10 damage, 15 yards, and you have two attacks with that gun. And Wilfred, yours, the .32 is a 1d8. 15 yards, but you have three attacks with it.
Okay. Does that mean that I should have two attacks with my one as well?
Nope.
Okay.
What's the malfunction?
Malfunction is 00 for both of those.
Cool. I'm hoping for a shotgun or rifle because I'm ever so slightly better with those.
Well, if you ever go back to the place where we were originally sleeping, there's still Cicero's shotgun there.
Yeah, but it feels a bit mean to sort of go, he's on his deathbed, dibs on his gun.
Well, it's what he would have wanted. It's what he would have wanted.
I've got my sword back there.
Got a sword and a gun?
As you turn to leave the storeroom, Wilfred, you look over in the corner and you see Cicero's shotgun propped up against the wall.
Oh, well, I need to take that. It's what he would have wanted.
Exactly, yeah.
In some way, Cicero will be with us.
It will be rude not to, you know.
It'll be cruelly poetic to execute Monroe with Cicero's shotgun.
You collect the shotgun, and Reed hands a revolver to Adams as well. And you all look at each other in the corridor, and Reed goes, gentlemen, I'm not sure what we're going to be walking into, but if I'm going to go out, I couldn't be serving with any finer gentleman.
Marcus salutes.
I awkwardly salute, but probably do it a little bit wrong.
I feel like I would just be looking there with utter confusion because I've not experienced any of the other things.
You've like top fucked this situation. Like,
yeah, I'm just like, why is everyone getting guns? Wow.
You're in Hot Fuzz when Nick Frost comes out with like just guns everywhere and ammo, or like massively overdoing it. I feel like that's what Wilfred's going to do here, because he's obviously never really had one other than the brief thing on the boat.
Yeah.
He's never really got to play with one, so he's just like, whoa. And he's got like the shotgun in one hand and the pistol in the other, like, yeah, let's fucking go.
As you six now step out of Whitechapel Station, Adams is in his street clothes and he has a flat cap on. You are all wearing long jacket and you're all wearing hats of your choice, and you look a little bit like the Untouchables as you all load up into two carriages and make your way to Shoreditch. I just want you all to be imagining at the moment some really dramatic sort of like action music.
I'm imagining explosions behind us, to be honest.
Why are the explosions behind us?
Cool.
I mean, am I the only one that's thinking that?
Just as the carriages are going down the street, just
suddenly a fireworks factory goes up.
If there is an explosion, I'm going to turn around and go, oh God, you see that? That's bloody amazing.
Just we cut to Wilfred and he's got like a toothpick and he just pulls.
I was just going to say, I've got a toothpick.
He pulls out the morning. He's like, and you're like, guys, let's get serious.
I've got my bowler hat on.
Brilliant. Well, 20 minutes later, more than 20 minutes, I would have thought, that half hour, you four find yourselves in Shoreditch.
Thank you for listening to episode 18 of Spectre in the Fog, A Night of Sorrow. Tracks used in this episode are Abandoned Windmill and Dark Angel from tabletopaudio.com. Get ready as we begin to head towards the conclusion of our tale and the final fate of our brave investigators. If you'd like to drop us a message, you can find us on Facebook at SpectrePod and on Twitter at SpectreFog. As always, my friends, keep investigating.